tonight. No guarantees. I didn't plan for a see him, but it might happen. Taf. What? Taf was a sheer. Taf, I don't know. We had him. Yeah. We had. I've learned a long time ago not to be impressed. We had a machlokas last week, Tree of Yom Reish Lakish. If I claim from you two types of grain, let's say, well, let's use apples and oranges, which you've been using till now. I claim for you apples and oranges, and you can see to me apples, but not oranges. Is that moida b'miktas or not? Is that a partial confession, right? The Goyen Reish Lakish is a partial confession, because I claim from you two commodities, and you can see one commodity. It's a partial confession, and it requires a shvua, an oath, midah raisa on a Torah level. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's not considered to be a partial confession, because on half of the thing, I conceded to you completely, and on the other half, I didn't concede to you at all. So it's not partial. Partial is when from the apples, I conceded to you part of the apples. From the oranges, I conceded to you part of the oranges. But not where I conceded all of the apples as opposed to all of the oranges or vice versa. Okay? So now we're taking it 6 lines to the bottom of Ayin Amar Aleph 139. This is how Rabbi Shimon Lakish is part of Rabbi Yochanan. It says, Al Daitcha, Da'at Amar. According to the you say, Tono Shtemina Vodolo Be'echon. If you claim him in two types, and he conceded them one, alright, look. I'll tell you what. Stand. Since you're going to sit over there, so I'll stand. No, but I have to. It's okay, don't worry. So again, that's Rabbi Yochanan. When he claimed for him two types, and the guy conceded to one, Chachamim hold he's exempt from a shul because not considered to be moed of a mikzah, a partial confession. What did we learn? What about the following case? Tano kelim bekarkos. I claim from you tools and real estate. Vodah became and you concede to me tools, but not karkos, the cover karkos, but not the real estate. Or vice versa, you concede the real estate, the cover of kalim, and reject the claim of the tools. In all these cases, you're exempt from a shvua. Im bekalim bekalim, who potter. So says Reish Lakish, the reason why you're exempt from a shvua is because karkos. Well, actually, it's not Reish Lakish, but the Gemara there says, in Shavuos, reason I exempt from Shavuos, because there's no oath on karkos. There's no oath on real estate. Only oaths on movable objects, not on real estate. So that's why no matter how the claim is configured, since part of it has to do with real estate, you're exempt from an oath, right? However, the implication is that if there were two claims on tools, one on hammers and one on screwdrivers, and you could see that the screwdrivers, then you'd be chayev. It's only because it's real estate and tools, not two types of tools, right? So Hakim Bim and you according to Rabbi Yochanan, Vim became upator. If according to you, by two types of tools, there would be no oath either. Kelim Akarkos, so Kosh Kate, it's not a kavachom, it's not obvious that when the claim is not on screwdrivers and hammers, but on screwdrivers and on land, that you're going to be exempt. Ma'avila, what is Rabbi Yochanan doing to you with this brisa? Do patar lo, like, he interprets that the brisa is going to tell us a different kind of chiddush. It's going to tell us lizokiko shvua, meaning that the even though normally I don't take a shvua on land, if the land comes together with tools, so as a concept called Gilgul Shvua, very good, that you roll on him the oath not just on the tools, but also on the land. So I might think that here, it is considered to be moedim and miktas, right? Just like tool to, because the land gets rolled on. And that's why the chiddush is, that precisely the point of Rabbi Yochanan, that because it's like apples and oranges, the tools and the real estate, so therefore Gilgul Shavuot doesn't work here. There's no Shavuot to roll on. Because when you can roll on the Modem Mitzvah Shavuot onto the real estate, you do roll it on. But here there's no Modem Mitzvah to begin with. So if, in fact, I could claim that you owe me 15 tools and 15 R parcels of land, and you could see on 7 tools and no parcels of land, then I can make it take a shvuah through Gilgul on both the tools and the land. But where you could see it on all the screwdrivers and none of the land, there's no shvuah whatsoever. Okay? Says more further. Now there's a question I raised Lakish. Didn't we learn? Hatoyes Chaveru Kadesh Shemen is actually our Mishnah. Or it's a paraphrase of our Mishnah. It's our Mishnah. Vati Hatoyes Chaveru Kadesh Shemen. I claim from you jugs of oil, or oil jugs. I guess it'd be a more actual literal translation. Vodav Kankaim, and you concede the jugs. Manakim, what are you talking about here? Im Shatano Kankani B'Shemen. If we're talking about a case where he claimed oil and jugs, both. Vodav Lo B'Achas Me'en, and the guy conceded on one of them, according to Reish Lakish, everybody should agree that since it's like apples and oranges and conceding on the apples, according to Reish Lakish, that is moedim miktas. So this case should require a shvuah, according to Reish Lakish. It shouldn't be the subject of machlokas between Admon and Chachomim. So why is it a subject of machlokas, right? Vim b'shutor no shemen. And if on the other way, about a case where he wasn't claiming the drugs, he was just claiming the oil, and the guy conceded, on the drugs. Everybody conceded that the confession is not a partial confession on the claim, because the claim is on apples and the confession is on oranges. Even according to Reish Lakish, that shouldn't require shvuah. So what's the case for our Mishnah? So in fact, we know that in that case, which you just mentioned, there is no shvuah, because Rabbi Amoraim said the name of Rab. B'shetaro kankane shemen. Was this the answer ready? No, not yet. What? Excuse me. Vim b'shetaro shemen. That's part of the question. Oh, I skipped. Did I skip? No, I'm... What? Yeah, I skip. Or maybe I didn't read yet. I don't know. But anyway, don't remember zero. But I'm ashamed of Bishitono Kankane Shemini Masnisa. This is the answer. It's all about a case where he claimed jugs of oil. Now, one opinion is... It says ahin, but it really should be ha-hein. One opinion is that it's instead of melin, it should be melein, full jugs. And who's the one opinion? Admon holds if I claim you kankane shemen, what am I claiming from you? Jugs full of oil. This is Reish Lakish's interpretation of the Mishnah. I gave you jugs full of oil, and you concede oil. You concede on the jugs. So, according to Admon, that's might have been mixas. I claim jugs plus oil. You concede jugs. That's a partial confession. Yeah, he claims that he concedes that he owes it. That he took it and that he owes it, yes. You weren't completely confused. So that was an exaggeration. And it should be Ahain Malayan, right? This guy holds it, they're filled. full drugs he's claiming. Vahein, and the other guy, meaning Chachomim, Amarekonim, says it's empty drugs that he's claiming. So that's the machlokas, according to Reish Lakish. Admon Holmes holds, if I claim drugs of oil, I'm claiming full drugs of oil, and you're conceding drugs. According to Reish Lakish, that's moedim emiktas. A partial confession requires a shvuah. According to Chachomim, if I claim drugs of oil, I'm claiming, the other way around. I claim drugs of oil and you can feed seeded oil. No. I claim drugs of oil and you can see. No, I got it right. I can see it, claim drugs of oil and you can see it drugs. That's why it makes us. I claim oil and you can see it drugs. That's not moedim emiktas. Again, the question is, actually in machlokas, when I use the words kankone shaman, what do I mean to claim? Am I claiming oil and drugs, in which case your confession on either oil or drugs is a moedim emiktas, or am I claiming oil and you're confessing drugs? And it's not moedim emiktas, it's not a partial confession at all, because we're not on the same wavelength. It says, maniho kankone velo shaman. I understand it can be construed that one is claiming drug without oil. But shemen v'lo kankani? How is it possible if I claim kankani shemen to imagine that I mean to claim oil without the drugs? How would that be? How would that be? So it says, my blessed shemen avun said, v'mati klishna, blessed name Ravun, expresses the language, meaning he explains, machtsin dimshach, I'm claiming measures of oil. Kankan is a measure. So in fact, when I claim kankan is shaman, Rabbanon hold, I'm claiming what? Not the jugs, but the measures of oil. And therefore, when you concede on the jugs, we're not on the same wavelength. That's not what it means. Says more delay. This amazing Baalbatish question. I don't think I've ever seen this question before in Gan Shas, Bavli, and Yerushalmi. It's a stunning question. Should be taken aback by this question. The Gemara asks, "Filei sofei mishali." Why don't we go ask him what he meant to claim? Have you ever seen that question anywhere in Shas?
Half of Shas.
Yes.
That's right.
It's an amazing thing.
You do see my Shas in 3 years.
Yes. That's the I can't believe the one actually asked it. Says one, Bahid Nishtatek, so I'm about a guy who became all of a sudden stricken mute, and therefore we can't ask him. So 3/4 of Shas is written for the people who are stricken mute. Okay. It's amazing, isn't it? Haposik Mosul Chasono. Somebody who stipulated for his son-in-law that he provide him with a dowry, he'd support him in Koilo. And then extended to him the foot, which is in the language of modern Hebrew, and also in this Mishnah 4, he went bankrupt. He was not able to fulfill his obligation. Now, she already was Mekudeshes, but not Nesua. You know what? Teo Shevesa Chatal Bin Rosha. She should sit until her hair turns white. Tough on her. Admon Amar, Admon says it's not fair. Ilani Pasakti Alatzmi, if I, the woman myself, accept upon myself the obligation, hey, Yosheves at Shatabin Roshi, then I should sit until my hair goes right. Abba Pasaka lie, but if my father did it for me, Mani Yechoyle Laz, it's not fair to me. I didn't do anything wrong. Oknos Optor. So therefore, either see, the woman says, either complete the marriage or get rid of me, but don't hold me accountable. Amra Gamliel Gamliel says, I see the words of Admon as being correct. Says the Mara Masnisa, our Mishnah is Bishop Posak Mimamodo. The Omachlokis is only if the father made the stipulation in her presence and she acquiesced. Avim lo Posak Mamodo, but if she was not present and did not acquiesce, then Af Arbonim Modin, Arbonim also concede that in that case, she's not bound by her father's obligation, and therefore we say to her chosen, either fully marry her or get rid of her. Says the Gemara, Tani, we learned her b'risa. Amar Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael said, Chachamim do not disagree. If somebody stipulates money for a son-in-law who pushes a regal and he goes bankrupt, she really doesn't have to sit until he goes, she becomes, her hair becomes white. That's really not the case. It really changes the Mishnah. He says the truth is the Mishnah is miswritten. It should be the machlokas is al shepaska la'atzma. When she herself stipulated for herself, Admon Omer Yecholi Shetoymar Svoyisi Shoaba Leitzalite, she could say that I thought my father. In other words, she said they were going out on dates, and she said my father, my daddy will give us $50,000. Right? I'm sure many girls say these things nowadays. So therefore, she says she said that because she was sure her father would give $50,000. So Shadamon says she's still not on the hook because she could say, I thought he would give 50 grand. He didn't show up. He didn't come up with the money. Right? Now daddy doesn't want to give. What can I do? But either marry me or get rid of me. Rav Gamliel said, I agree with Admon. This respect, even the Chachamim disagree and say, "Yeah, it's true. It's you who promised it, but you shouldn't have taken chances and said that. And now that you said it, you're stuck, and you have to abide by it." So, in fact, the Machlokas is only when she herself actively encouraged him to that position. Okay, Halachavav, Ha'ira El Asode, somebody who complains on a field. He says this field is his. Yet, on the transaction which sold the field to the current occupant, and obviously he holds that transaction was under false pretenses, this person who has lodged a complaint is chosen l'abeid, is signed on it in the document as a witness. Admon says, he can say, the reason why it's signed on the document, even though it's a false document, is Hasheni Nochli, you, the buyer, the second guy, are easier for me to deal with in court. The first guy was difficult for me to deal with, so therefore I put the property into a position where it's easier for me to sue. And that's why I signed in it. Chachamim Yecholim say, no. If you sign on the document as a witness, it is a tacit confession on your part that the land is not yours. Okay? Chachamim Ebed is chuso, you lost your rights. Asasi melachem, what if you sign a document in which this field is given as a demarcation or boundary line? Now, it's given as demarcation boundary line, and it's called in the document Jones Field, as opposed to my field. But I signed on that document. So it wasn't a document which sold the field itself, but I used the document under its current ownership, which I dispute, as being a boundary marker or demarcation line. So that too, right? Even as chuso, you also lose your property. The loss of Tova, now the Yushalmi throws in, and the Bavli does not throw this in. Loss of Tova, Shasasi Menacher. It's not just where you yourself wrote it in a document as a boundary. Even if it's a document between two parties about a field which is a third or fourth field, has nothing to do with this field. But they just happen to use this field of which you claim to be yours as a boundary. So it's, the transaction doesn't concern your field or the field you're disputing, but just uses that as a demarcation point in a boundary, in a discussion of two other fields. Once he signed on as a witness, Ibid es chuso, he loses his right. So it's not clear if he was rashi in the Bible, he doesn't hold of this Yushami, that it's only if the document itself pertains to the field, not if it's actually being used as a marker in another document concerning another field altogether. But the Yushami holds, no matter what the context is, if it's identified in a document at somebody else's field, you lose your right to that field. Okay? Next Mishnah. Mishnah Lam Dir Sam, so he went to Chutzlaritz. Vav the Dar Sadeh. And he loses the field, the way to his field. Now, it's understood. And seeing it in the Bible, it seems also in Yerushalmi. We're talking about, I think we had this recently. It's a donut field. That's right, he has to fly over. We have it in Yerushalmi and the Bavli. I think we had the Bavli in the Avomis. Is it possible? Did we have this recently?
Yeah, recently.
It's either in the Bavli or Yerushalmi. I don't remember where. Must have been the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi did say, I'm about to der Sadeu. What? When he got back, he couldn't remember how to get to his middle field. He goes to the shortest possible way, but he has a route. He's got to buy it for whatever price they sell to him. Or even if by Avir, he has to fly through the air. That must have been the Bavli who had it. Okay. Rabbi Yisachin Omer Atoin B'Rayotza. Rabbi Yisachin said, he's got. It's only if he has proof that he had a path in the past. So if he had proof he had a path in the past, then he has a claim. But he just say, "Hey, I deserve a path." Pay through the nose. Says Mar Milse Omar, the case seems to indicate according to Chachamim, so they were talking about four different fields on each side, one on each side, because each owner of a field says, no, go to the other guy, my path wasn't to you, so the other guy, so therefore I don't have to give it to you. The Shmuel says, even if it's one guy on all four sides, as long as he bought from four separate guys. Because as we learned earlier, I think in the Bavli, maybe it was in the afternoon shir. You know what? Maybe that's where he had it. In Azov, the afternoon shir, right. So you didn't have it. So we had Azov. So it's Menvah Metzia. Because the guy is surrounding, it was one guy. He says, I bought it from four separate guys. If you shut up and pay my price, then everything will be fine. I'll let you buy. But if you don't shut up and pay my price, I'll void the purchases which I had. I'll give back all four fields to the original owners, and then you'll be stuck. Because each owner will say, you wasn't through, not in my backyard, right? So therefore, it's a bad, you might as well compromise with me and take the price I'm giving, because otherwise you'll have bigger headaches. Okay? So even if it's one guy, as long as you bought it from separate guys, so therefore he has the koyach of each of the separate guys to say, not in my backyard, in the other guy's backyard. Okay? Says more further. Wait a minute. It's kasha. Now, the word Tanya appears many times on this page. It's a mistake. It should be tonight. Condition. Says Mara, wait a minute. What about the following? It is a brisa, but it's supposed to be tonight. Maybe it's Tanya tonight. Tonight, Yoshua. Yoshua bin Nun made a stipulation. If somebody was lost in vineyards of asotos and grain fields, he can make holes, cut through the branches where he is, and go out until he reaches the highway, until he reaches his house. Even if the field is full of vineyards, because with that condition, Yoshua distributed the land of Israel to its inhabitants. Now the question is, we see here Yoshua made a condition in Eretz Yisrael that if you ever lost, you can find your way by going through other people's backyards, even though technically it should be considered to be theft. So here, why can't he go through the other guy's yard in order to get to his yard? Should be the same idea, right? Good question, right? So says the Gemara, and no. Tanai Yoshua Lotseis. Yoshua's condition was, if you're lost, to get out. Shemali Kones. It wasn't that if you want to get in, so you feel in the middle they can go in. And that Yoshua never made his condition. He made it in the extenuating circumstance of somebody who's lost, but not a guy who wants to get into his own field. And also, Tanai Yoshua Begufo. Yoshua's condition was for your own self when you're lost. Shema b'mamono. You're thinking Shema b'paraso. Here, this guy wants to take his cow into Flower's field. Yoshua didn't make any conditions to allow that, right? So that's why here this Tanai Yoshua doesn't work. All right, now the Gemara doesn't bring it down to Braisa, but the Gemara then comments on the Braisa, which says you're not allowed to go to your friend's field to trample your friend's field to get out your cow, which wandered in there. But you are allowed to go into your friend's field to chop down a branch on which your bees hive is hanging. Don't ask me how it got there. I guess they flew there with the hive, or your bees flew there and made the hive. Not sure exactly what happened. We're allowed to go there and cut down the branch and take the branch away. And that's the Tanai Yoshua as well. So the question is, why the Tanai Yoshua works for you to cut down the bee, the branch to get the bees, but the Tanai Yoshua does not work for you to be able to get out your cow from his yard. So Sazma, I'll tell you what. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Paradar Kolachzor. The cow will come back eventually on its own accord. Therefore, they didn't let you go in and trample his field. But Nachil Shel Dvarim, the swarm of bees, Aidei Shein Darko Lachzor, it's not going to come back on its own. Asu Oso Kegufo, they made it like your own body, meaning just like you can cut your way out of your friend's field, so too you can cut down the branch in order to get back your swarm of bees. Okay? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Admon Rabbi Kir Shnei Mar Mudev Dobrechon. He proposed, although the more actually will shoot that down, Rabbi Yirmiyah proposes that Admon Rabbi Kir both say the same thing. The Tzinyat Tamar, we learned over there, in Bob Asra, Mochron La'achir. You sold to somebody a well in your backyard, but not the backyard. So he's got a well in the middle of your yard. Okay? So in that case, Rabbi Kiva says he doesn't have to buy a pathway separate because we assume a pathway is included in the sale. The right of way is included in the sale, even if not stipulated in the document or in the conditions, right? Chachomri says he's got to buy a pathway separately. So it seems like it's the same machlokas here. It's like Admon says that the guy in the middle field doesn't have to buy a road, he has a road. So it's over there. Akiva says he doesn't have to buy a road to the well. He bought the well. He bought a road. Says why it's an error. Rabbi Yirmiyah made a mistake. Lo shoma domer Rabbi Hila. He not hear Rabbi Hila and Rabbi Asim shem Rabbi Yochanan shem b'shem Rabbi Yochanan b'stam chalukim. The machlokas over there was by a sale without any specification. You just said I'm selling the well. He didn't specify. And the Gemara's going to explain what the difference is. Says the Gemara, Amanakim, if we're talking about, what are we talking about? Because what are we talking about? Im davar bar shesh lo derech, if we're talking about a case where it was either implicit or explicit that there would be a pathway, so klama moide shetzor l'kach lo derech. So everybody agrees he doesn't have to pay for a pathway. If on the other hand, okay, it wouldn't be the first coffee stain. If on the other stand, oh, see, it shows I'm awake tonight. The magic touch the thermos. So even davar, if it's clear that he included the pathway, everybody agrees that he doesn't have to buy a pathway, right? If it's a clear thing that he has no pathway, everybody we did, he has to buy a pathway. Rather, what are we talking about over there? By the case of the sale of the well, Bistam, where the sale was made without any implications. Rabbi Kiva says, he doesn't have to buy a pathway. Rabbanan Armin, Rabbanan say, he's got to buy a pathway. But here, I feel Dover by Yeshlo Derech. Even if it's clear that he had a pathway, Because what's about time he did have a pass? In this donut situation, where he's feeling the middle, certainly once upon a time there was a pass. It'd be ludicrous to assume that there was not. But Kolam Amoyde here, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that Tzorech Likach Lo Derech, he's got to buy a pass now. Why is that? Because here, it's not this guy now selling the field in the middle to somebody else. In which case we could say, according to Rabbi Akiva, he sells with a good eye and he sells him also a pass. No, it's a pre-existing condition here. This guy, even if it's one guy, but he came, he caught four guys, and none of them knows where the path was, and none of them was amenable to give a pass, and there was no sale to the middle guy at this point that we could say that implicit in the sale was the granting of the pass. Rather, we have to go back to the existing situation, see how to interpret it. It could be here, Rabbi Akiva would also agree that there's no inherent pathway here, because in order to be inherent path, it would have to be that there always was one guy around who sold the inner guy his field, and then implicit in that sale was a pass. But here there were four guys, and each one says, it wasn't in my backyard. And even the one guy says, I've got the koyach of those four guys of not in my backyard. And I didn't sell your middle field, so I didn't claim that implicit in the sale was a pathway, and therefore even Rabbi Akiva might agree here to Rabbanon that it's tough on the middle guy, and he's got to buy now a pathway. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. Amotzi Shtar Chol B'Chayv, this is a very fascinating Mishnah. Is this a fascinating one? No, the next one. This is interesting, not fascinating. Amotzi Shtar Chol B'Chayv. So he produced a document against his friend. Reuven produces a shtar. Shimon owes him $200. Shimon, Shimon produces a document that after the alleged loan, Reuven sold him a field. So Shimon says, listen, if I owed you money, why would you sell me a field? Right? Why would you sell me a field if I owed you money? You probably want to collect the money first before taking purchase money from me. It would be stupid of you. Instead of taking purchase money, get the money you owe. So says my Amon Omer, Amon says, this is exactly what I just said. Amon says, he says, right, I really owe you money. Instead of paying the money as a purchase price, you should take the money as a payback on the loan. It's a sudden when he sold me the field. Say no. This lender was a shrewd guy. He was smart. He says, you know why I sold you the land? Because I want to take it back as collateral. That's why I sold it to you. So I told Adarabba, my son of the land, gave me security. That's precisely the point. Now I have your $100, which you pay me for the purchase, and you also owe me $100 from before, and I will take my land back as collateral. So as a matter of fact, he says, I was a much shrewder person by doing what I did. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda says, B'yofi b'kach. The whole machlokas is where the land was worth the precise amount of the loan. And that's why Adamon says, he wouldn't have done it, he would have taken the amount of the loan. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shani, any of a cop. Machlokas is even where it's not the same value as the loan. Okay? Period. Agatzmucha. Now, this is actually a new topic. Agatzmucha, let's imagine. Davle Karka. What about a case where the borrower already had land? So the lender can't say, I sold you land, so you should be able to give me collateral. He has collateral to give him. So what's the lender tiny? So Yochum Memerle, no. The lender can still say, Karkatav Anaboy. I want to get good land as collateral. And I knew my land was good, and that's why I sold to you, so I could take it back as collateral. Hagatzwadavle Karkatav. So it says more fine. But what about where the bar already had good land to serve as collateral? So what does the lender say then? So says more, Yochum Memerle could say, Titi Anaboy. I want that my own land as collateral. It's more geschmack to get back my own land as collateral. The law, not only that, El Yochel Hemarle could say to him with a zachutzpah. The lender could say, "Leis becheli tone tarcheon de tarvai." That's right. I was not able to work two lands. I figured I'll dump it on you for the time being, and then I'll take it back afterwards. I knew full well I'd be collecting as collateral. But for the meantime, I will be able to get a respite from my own labors, and you'll have to labor over it. Okay? Says Mishnah further. That was an interesting Mishnah. Now comes even more fascinating. Shnayim shotir. Now this whole discussion, which we're going to have, not in the Bible. Shnayim shotir shtar chov zelza. The Mishnah, of course, is we both produce a document against each other. Okay. So once that document Abu says you owe me $100, document you produce says I owe you $100. So I'm an oymer. The guy whose document is later can say. The guy whose document is earlier could say your document is the later one is a forgery, because if I owed you money, why would you be borrowing from me? You would rather collect from me than borrow from me. Say no, it doesn't matter. That's dvarim shebelev. Why you're not to borrow money from somebody as opposed to payback, collect payback? We don't know. But Zegov Ishtar Chovov, Zegov Ishtar Chovov, each of them collects the bill of debt. Now, what about a case where one guy loaned from the other $100? And the other guy loans $200. A gevaldige machlokes. You ready for this one? It's amazing. Ravuna Mayis Baugu. Ravuna says it's machlokes. Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, Rav Sheshes. Charamar once says, Yoitzi mona kenegen mona. $100 cancels out. Because it's 100 to 200, so the 100 cancels out. And the other guy just collects 100, right? Makes sense, right? The 100 cancels out. There's 100 left over. The Choronim on the other side, no! They don't cancel each other out. Rather, Zegov Ishtar Chovov, Zegov Ishtar Chovov. This guy collects 200, this guy collects 100. No, they don't cancel each other out. Right? Madam are Yoitzi Mona Kenegamona. He who says you cancel out 100 Torah cards, 100. Yoel from Mishvarim Tomim. He learns out from innocent oxen. Right? They have a gore three times. That gore each other. Shechol Uzebezeb. Mishami Amosa Chatzi Nezek. First you deduct the parallel damage, and then in the remainder, you pay chatzi nezek, half nezek, because, of course, they were still innocent oxen, they hadn't been forewarned three times. So there we see that there's cancellation, and then you work with the sum above the cancellation. So here, the 100s cancel each other out, and you work with the sums above the $100, above whatever cancels is out, right? He says that each one collects the full amount in turn. They learn from the rabbis of Admon, because that's what seems to, what the rabbis of Admon say. They said each guy's got a document. You can't cancel. Each document is separate edus. So each guy collects on the other one from his documents. Right now, it says the Gemara. It should be V'idach, says the Carbonator. V'idach, Rabboni Dadmon. What is the guy who learned from the oxen say about that? He says, even the rabbis of Admon, Modi, they concede, Shiotzi Mona Kenegan Mona. That until you cancel out before you begin talking. Ela begin, so what were they saying in the Mishnah? When they say, which can collect on their document, begin the Tznin on Admon. Since Admon said, Omer, Admon denied the whole thing. He said the second loan must be a forgery because nobody would borrow money if they didn't get a payback. So since that was the language of Admon, right? Since Admon says, if I owed you money, why would you borrow it from me? Therefore they have to say, that each one collects his ishtar chov. One second. That's what he had to say. Each one collects his shtar chov. Now, What the problem is, what is the nafkamina? Who cares? So the ramifications seem to be the same. So that result is the exchange of $100, and the other $100 seems superfluous. So says Gemara, now the Gemara gets into the meat of it. What's the difference? Machal shel masayin. It should be lish shel mona. The guy who owes who's owed $200 is Michael, the other guy. It's Michael's dog. V'shel mona lo machal. The other guy is not Michael. The bigger lender is Michael. The small lender is not. Says Gemara, Masnisa b'shohaya b'yuda v'nasa isha b'gol. The Mishnah is talking about a case where he was in Yehuda and he married a woman in Galil. Okay? Now, b'gol v'nasa isha b'yuda, or is in Galil, married a woman in Yehuda, he can't schlep her out of where he married her. You married in Detroit, you're stuck in Detroit. That's the way it goes. Okay? Baruch Hashem, nowadays, doesn't necessarily apply. But that's theoretically, that's the way it goes, right? Now, what about Avol Ima Yom Yehuda V'Nasa Isha Yehuda? Now, the way Carmen Aiden learned, B'nai Moshe learned, it's that he's from Yehuda, and he married a woman from Galil in Yehuda. So then she stops, since the marriage took place in his location. So then, or Migalil, he's from Galil, and he married a woman who's from Yehuda, but Vinasi Yishu Migalil, he married a woman in Galil, Kovitz, so let's say she's got to remain in his place where they got married. But I don't think that that's pshat. I think the pshat is that if he was from Yehuda, and she's from Yehuda, but they got married in Galil, or he's from Galil, she's going to get married in Galil, but they got married in Yehuda. So the chiddush is, she could say, dear, since we got married here, even though we're both not from here, this is where we're going to dwell. So the halach is, no, he could say, since we're both from Yehuda, I can take you away. But since we're both from Galil, I can take you away. Okay, that's what I think the pshat is. And then the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, a funny language, this is as if there's a document written to this effect, and the Kormier and Moshe say that we're documents like this. It says, document, I need Pliny, Shemihu, the top of 143, Mayim Beis Amal. I need Pliny, Shemihu, I sold from Yehuda, Vinosa Yisham Yehuda, and I married a woman from Yehuda. I'm going to learn like my case. Even though we got married in the Galil, COVID has solo taste, we require her to leave that place. Mi Galil, however, if the woman froze from Galil, and according to my shot, they got married in Galil, so then of course I can't force it to go, right? And he played me from Galil, similarly. I'm so tough from Galil. Vinos Yishim Galil, married a woman in Galil, even though we got married in Yehuda. Kovina Sola takes me, make her go to Galil. However, if I'm a Yehuda, I'm sorry, if the woman's from Yehuda, and they got married in Yehuda, then ain't Kovina Sola takes you, can't make her move. So the basic principle is that if they're both from the same location, wherever they marry doesn't make a difference. If they're from different locations, and they got married in her location, then he's stuck abiding by that. Okay? Yeah. Lawsuit goes by some. Okay, very good. Baruch Sheki Bad. Tani, Motzi Meir Sheruba, Meir Sheruba Akum. You can call, force your spouse to leave, say which is mostly non-Jewish. Meir Sheruba Yisrael to go to a city which is mostly Jewish. Avlo Meir Sheruba Yisrael, but not to say which is mostly Jewish, which is completely Jewish. Meir Sheruba Akum to say which is mostly non-Jewish. Period. Umenai Shenova Nova Yofa Bodhi, kind of that a better city sometimes causes more problems. Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Chaim, Shem Chanina said, "Penti v'kani arav amati." Lot said, "I don't want to go up to the mountains, to Avraham Avinu, lest I get bad." B'mishra, he was in a valley, and everybody knows the valley of Samach Lahara, and he was going to go up. He was adjacent to the mountain. Everybody knows the mountains are healthier than the city, right? It's an old Jewish thing from the Catskills. So everybody knows the mountains are healthier than the city. So how can Lot say it's worse for him to go up to the mountain? and we catch another year of avoiding. Here we see that even a good place for certain people causes health problems, and therefore she can say, I don't want to go, or he can say, I don't want to go. Last Mishnah, I think we might make it. Hako Malin Leretz Yisrael. Everybody can compel their spouse to move to Israel. Veina Komotzin. Not everybody can compel a spouse to leave. Hako Malin Shlaib. Everybody can compel a spouse to go to Shalayim. Veina Komotzin. Not everybody can compel to leave. Echad Anoshim. Echad Anoshim is true both about a woman and a man. Ketzad also Nosei Shabbat Yisrael. Now, this is actually a new thing. Ketzad. Don't say about divorce. Nosei Shabbat Yisrael. If you marry a woman, Eretz Yisrael. The Gir Shabbat Yisrael. You divorce, Eretz Yisrael. Nosei Mos, Eretz Yisrael. Uksub asking with Israeli money. Which in the good old days used to be good money. Nosei Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. Marry a woman, Eretz Yisrael. The Gir Shabbat Kapur Kaya. And the divorce in the Chutzlarts. Still, Nosei Mos, Eretz Yisrael. You have to give the superior money to Israeli money. Nosei Yisrael. Kapur Kaya. Marry a woman, Eretz Yisrael. You marry a woman, Chutzlarts. And divorce in Eretz Yisrael. Also, Nosei Mos, Eretz Yisrael. You have to give her the good money. No, if you married her in Chutz La'aretz, then you're allowed to give her most kapukaya, give her Chutz La'aretz money to pay her ksuba. Nos isha b'kapukaya, the yusha b'kapukaya, if you married her kapukaya, divorce her kapukaya, then nos isha most kapukaya, give her kapukaya money. Okay, now, the Yushami actually argues in the Bavli, we're about to learn. The Bavli holds the man can force the woman, and woman can force the man. The Pashuk Chai in the Mishnah. The Yushami does not hold that way. And some say the Yushami is not talking, the Yushami said about Bizman Azeh, that in Eretz Chutz La'aretz is not Eretz Yisrael, is not so superior to Chutz La'aretz as opposed to Ban Bez and Mikdash Kayim. But that's difficult because Mishnah is also not talking about Bizman Shabbat and Mikdash Kayim. So by the Yushami Shmer, you'll see. Who writes a lot of Eretz Yisrael? We had no Rotsa. If he wants to go, she doesn't want to. Kleven Osaralos, we make her go. However, he wrote so she wants to make Aliyah. But who ain't a Rotsa and he does not. So in the Bavli, we force him. But the Yushami says, ain't Kleven Osaralos. You know, we don't force him to go. Now, vice versa. Who wrote to Laalos or considered similarly? Who wrote to Laalos Yushlaib? He wants to go to Yushlaib. He ain't a Rotsa and she doesn't want to. Kleven Osaralos, we make her go up. He wrote so laalos. She wants to go up. Vu eno wrote and he doesn't want to go. Ain't govino so laalos. We don't make him go. Again, it's got to be the man leading. Similarly, or vice versa. Who wrote so laalos? Chutz laaretz. He wants to make you read that. Vira wrote so, and she doesn't want to. Ain't kofino so. In this case, we don't make her go. Kofino so laalos. We don't make her go out. He can divorce her, but he can't make her go out. He wrote to a case winner wrote that if she wants to leave and he doesn't want to leave, so she can't compel a divorce on that account. Craving of social taste, we compel her not to leave. Okay, so leaving Chutz La'aretz to Chutz La'aretz, there we got to listen to her. But in coming to Eretz Yisrael, we only listen to him and not to her. And again, that's the Yushami as opposed to the Bav. Okay, no silomi mos Eretz Yisrael. The shekel is better than all other money. Aha! But that Messiah, this is a proof of reminder of our Ksuvasisha Medivei Torah. If we give the better money, that must be Ksuvasisha's to Raisa. So the Ksuvasisha's to Rabbanon, we will give the less good currency. Okay? Tomorrow night, volume 6. The next one, Kitten, I think next one's Sultan. That's true. And it's all in the same volume, so it doesn't matter.